There are many things we have to discuss. Number one, do you daven mincha first? Is there an advantage? I see there's a sign in this shul. We come to the shul, there's a sign that says there's an early meeting for mincha at 3 o'clock. Why would you want to daven mincha before lighting Hanukkah candles? Is there really an inyan? Is there really an inyan to daven mincha early on Erev Shabbos? Ordinarily, you daven, many people, they daven mincha right before Shabbos begins.
Recording in progress.
Someone went wrong. Okay. Ordinarily, you daven... Okay, sorry about that. For those who are online, something went off for a second. Okay, so ordinarily, you daven mincha right before Shabbos begins. I don't have to, you can daven mincha early. Is there an inyan for those people who ordinarily daven mincha right before Shabbos begins to daven mincha early so that they can light candles? The lighting of the candles should be after they daven mincha. That's what, or is there any advantage? Or maybe just the opposite. Maybe it's better that a person should daven mincha after he lights candles. That's issue number one. Issue number two is, what do you do first? Do you light Shabbos candles first, or do you light Chanukah candles? And then issue number three is Mitzvah Shabbos. Issue number three is in shul. What do you do first in shul? Do you daven mincha first in shul and then light the shul menorah? Or do you first light the shul menorah and then daven mincha? What does this say there in shul? Issue number four, Mitzvah Shabbos. On Mitzvah Shabbos, should you first make Havdalah? Okay, there are still some shuls out there who make Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos. What do you do first? You make Havdalah first in shul or the Chanukah candles? And then when you come home, that's the big question. That's the question with all the fireworks. What do you do when you come home? Do you first make Havdalah or do you first light Chanukah candles? So there are many different, all these are all different topics we'll discuss right now very quickly. Seder, we're talking about order. Now also, so we want to point out that this Shabbos, we're going to be learning from three Sifrei Torah. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. It's good. Rabbi Mayevsky is here. Rabbi Mayevsky is going to be the Pesach Achron. Yanki, you here? Wow. Rabbi Mayevsky is going to be the Pesach Achron for our Shiloh. But on Shabbos, there are three... I want to give a Hakdama. Before I get to your Shiloh, I want to give a Hakdama. But on Shabbos, we have three... What is the correct procedure of this coming Shabbos? We learn the Parshas HaShavuah, Parshas Miketz, six aliyos, unless you're making kohes office. If you daven in the place where you do not make kohes office, so then when you get to the sixth aliyah, you go to the very, very end. When they finish making the bracha acharayna on the sixth aliyah, what do you do? What do you do at that moment in time? You put down on the bima, on the right side, the second sefer Torah, before Hagbah. That's the correct thing to do. Also, where do you put the Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah, I think, we should put on the right side.
So
Which side you put the new Sefer Torah on? Who really? Okay, I was told you put on the right side. Kol Pina Shat, every time you put something new, you put another something new, whatever. But you put down before you do anything, before you do Hagbah on the first Sefer Torah, you first put down on the Bima the second Sefer Torah, which is what? Rosh Chodesh. Why is the second Sefer Torah Rosh Chodesh? Tadir v'she'ena tadir kaidim. So you've hit upon the magic principle of tadir v'she'ena tadir kaidim. Remember that rule. That's a very important Hakdama. Wouldn't Pinchas?
Pinchas, it's the order of Karbonis and Parshas Pinchas are in the order of
tadir v'she'ena tadir. Okay. So that then...
Then Shabbos, then Rosh Chodesh,
So then what do we lay? We lay Rosh Chodesh, but once we are already laying Rosh Chodesh, we are also laying Uviyoyim HaShabbos. Might as well. It's only two psukim. So we lay really Uviyoyim HaShabbos, then we lay Rosh Chodesh. So you're really getting in two. It's a very special Shabbos. When Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, you're getting in a bonus. You get to lay the carbon musaf of Shabbos on Shabbos. Ordinarily you don't do that. Ordinarily, really, we should really learn from two Sifrei Torah every single Shabbos, because we always learn the Musaf of the day. Whenever you have a special Musaf, whenever it's the Moad, on the Moadim, we have special Musafim, so we learn a separate Sefer Torah, we learn the Musaf of that day, whether it's Shabbos, whether it is Rosh Chodesh. Whether it's the Moadim, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Shalosh Regalim, or Rosh Chodesh. So why don't we do the same thing for Shabbos Kodesh? Why don't we take out a second Sefer Torah every... Okay, some takas say that's too much of the Tzibura. The other reason they give is only two psukim. And you can't lay, you have to lay at least three psukim. That's not really such a good answer, because so we'll lay Rosh Chodesh also. We'll lay more. We'll figure out what we'll start a little bit early, we'll end a little bit late, we'll lay a little bit more. You're going to say it's misleading if we're going to lay in Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh in order to be mashlim, to have more than three psukim. It's going to look like today's Rosh Chodesh. People are going to get confused. They don't want to do that, possibly.
Yes.
So, yeah. Some want to say that the Musaf of Shabbos, is not really, it's a different type of Musaf. It's a different category. Everything on Shabbos is double. It's really a carbon tonnet. The Musaf of Shabbos is an extension of the carbon tonnet. What is the Musaf of Shabbos? Shnei chilosim. Uviyoyim ha-shabbos, shnei chilosim. B'nei Shana. What is the carbon tamid every single day? One keves. Everything about Shabbos is double. We have Shabbos, we have lechem mishneh. We have shtei nerois. What else do we have double? There are a lot of double. We double up on Shabbos. Shabbos is bracha. The bracha is doubling. When we bring the musaf, the musaf of Shabbos is shnei chavasim, to do what? To double up on the tamid. There's the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Ho'arboyim. The Tamid Shal Shachar is one keves, and the Tamid Shal Bein Ho'arboyim is also one keves. So on Shabbos, when we bring the carbon musaf, what are we bringing? Shnei chavasim. We're going from two to four. It's not considered to be a musaf like all of the other musafim. All of the other musafim have really nothing to do with anything. They're just special korbanos. But the musaf of Shabbos is an enhancement, is an extension of the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Ho'arboyim. And that's why the Musaf of Shabbos are two kevasim. It's double of what we anyway bring for the carbon Tamid. Therefore, just like we don't lane every single day the Tamid, we don't lane every single day the Parashah HaTorah, you say it in the Siddur, but you don't take out a Sefer Torah, so there's no need on Shabbos for us to lane the Musaf of Shabbos, because it's just a doubling of the carbon tamid. It's nichlal in the carbon tamid. It's a special type of carbon tamid, the musaf of Shabbos. It's a very tremendous, I saw it somewhere. I remember where I saw it. It's a very chiddush to say such a thing. And that explains why we don't lay on Shabbos. We take out a Sefer Torah on Shabbos for the musaf of Shabbos, because it's not a musaf. It's just an extension of the tamid shal shachar, tamid shal ben harboy. Now, but this Shabbos, we do lay uviyoyim ha-Shabbos. Very, very special. This Shabbos, we're really getting into four things. Parashas HaShavua, we're learning the Musaf of Shabbos, we're learning the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and we're learning the Nesiim. We're learning from the Nesiim in honor of Hanukkah. So we're really learning four things. Now, by the way, this is another very interesting point. Now, what do we learn on Shabbos? What do we learn every single day of the week? We lane today, what do we lane? Today we lane Uviyom HaRevi'i, Uviyom HaChamishi. Why did we lane today Uviyom HaChamishi? Today's not Yom HaChamishi. We want to lane from the Nesim, the Chanukas HaMizbeach. You want to lane Psukim that are read when there was an inauguration or a rededication. Why would you want to lane from So we lay the psukim that were landed when the Nesil inaugurated. So you have to lay at least 10 psukim. So Romeski said the reason why you need to lay for Yom HaChamishi, you have no choice, so we have to have 10 psukim, so we have to break it up. Why can't we just repeat it? Let's just lay Uviyoyim HaRevi'i three times. Or we can break it up once, and then we'll lane it again. We'll lane the entire thing all over again. Like Simchas Torah, you lane again, the same thing.
What shot to continue?
What? Because it's confusing. It's confusing. When you lane, if someone walks in a little bit late, right, and they say, Uviyom HaChamishi, oh, Uviyom, that means tonight I'm going to light six candles. It's like the same.
Nerds Israel, they lane us today. Nerds Israel, Sukkot,
Chalamoid. They lane the same thing again. There's no Sekhid Yoma. for example, what's one of the reasons why we don't lane every single Shabbos? We don't lane uviyoyim haShabbos. So what was one of the answers? It's only two psukim. So you can't lane just two psukim. So what are you going to do? You have no choice. So lane more. Go lane uviyosh echad sheichem. What comes after uviyoyim haShabbos? Uviyosh echad sheichem. So what's so terrible? You lane a little bit more. We always do that. It's very confusing. Person comes to shul on Shabbos and they're laning uviyosh echad sheichem. He's going to think that today is Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, we don't want to, we bedavka don't want to lay in the Rosh Echad Sheikha.
Is that also Techa de Zibur? If you lay more than you have to, that's Techa de Zibur.
No, it's not Techa. You have to lay. Whatever you need to do is not called Techa de Zibur. If you need to lay in three psukim and you're not allowed to stop in a certain section, so you lay until the section is over. It's not Techa. Why should be Techa? This is what you have. Techa is only when you have to do things that are extra. So we don't want to lay.
No, that's the laying of the week.
We don't want to lay on Shabbos or Rosh Echad Sheikha. We don't want to do that. So the same way, why are we allowed to lane uviyoyim hachamishi today? It's very confusing for the person who's coming to shul. He may make a mistake tonight and light six candles because they lane today in shul. There are uviyoyim hachamishi. So someone told me this incredible, beautiful answer, and the one that goes back to the question: why are there 8 days of Hanukkah? The Beis Yosef's question. And one of the answers, the very popular answer given, is because one day is really celebrated to commemorate the victory of the Milchama. There are many, many answers. There's one popular answer. It's true that Hanukkah was only a miracle of 7 days because there was basically enough oil to last for one day. So we don't need to make a special holiday for the first day of lighting the Hanukkah candles, but we do need to make a holiday to celebrate the victory of the Milchama. There is such, I'm using that as an example of Hakdama to answer this question. There is such a principle that 7 days are commemorated in honor of the Menorah, the miracle, the oil lasted 7 additional days, and one day is to commemorate the Nitzachon, the Giboidim Biat Chaloshim, Rabim Bad Miatim, Mitzvim Biatim, Roshom Biat Sadikim, Vizidim, and Oskei Sarasacha. Okay, that's an answer. We don't, let's for the moment now reject that answer. Why would we want to reject that answer? Because when did they win the Milchama? So according to some opinions, everything is subject to a lot of debate, the Milchama was won on day 24 of Hanukkah. Day 24. Day 25 was the first day of lighting the Hanukkah menorah. So if we want to suggest that in Hanukkah there are two celebrations, there is a celebration for the lighting of the menorah, and there is a celebration for the winning of the war. When was the war won? Was the war won on day 25? And immediately they lit the Hanukkah candles on the day of the victory? That's not mistaver, because they light the Hanukkah candles at night. It's much more mistaver. The war was won in the afternoon of day 24.
They had to spend time looking for the oil.
And they spent time, so they finished, the war was over, they entered into the Beis HaMikdash sometime during the day of day 24 of Kislev. They entered into the Heichal as victorious, to declare victory. And now they started to clean up, and they pulled out the menorah, and they looked for oil, and they found oil, and that evening they lit the menorah for the very first time. And we're going to celebrate that day as the first of 8 days. But the truth is, the war was won on day 24. And that day also deserves celebration. So why don't we celebrate Hanukkah as a 9-day holiday? Let's give the menorah 8 days. We will rely on all the other answers as to why we need to celebrate the menorah for 8 days. But we should celebrate an additional day number 9 to commemorate the war, the victory. We do. We actually do. And that's why we lay in today of Yom HaChamishi. Today is 5 days from the day the war was over. Today we lay in Uviyoyim HaRevi'i. It's 4 days of lighting of the menorah. But it's Uviyoyim HaChamishi. It's 5 days from the victory of the Milchama. So that answer is a very nice answer as to why in everyone, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Li'aretz, we are not concerned with the confusion of reading the next day in the Kriya Satoira. We're not concerned about that. We actually go and we read the next day because to a certain degree, the next day is day 5. It's 5 days from the Milchama, and we want to reflect upon that. So now comes the interesting question, what do we do on Shabbos? Shabbos, we take out the second Sefer Torah, what day is it? It's the sixth day of Hanukkah Shabbos? Sixth day? Do you lay in day six, day seven? No. If I'm not mistaken, right? You only lay, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look it up in the calendar, so if I make, just check before, but I'm almost pretty sure that on Shabbos, in the Kriya Satori, you only Uvayoyim Hashishi. You don't lay in day seven.
You don't need ten sukkim.
You don't need ten sukkim. Oh, but what about according to the answer that we've just given? That the reason why you're laying today is day four and day five. It's 4 days of the menorah, and it's 5 days from the time of the Muhammad. So on Shabbos, we should lay in day six, day seven. It's day six of the menorah, and it's day seven of the Milchama. The answer is on Shabbos, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. Shabbos, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. You don't focus Shabbos on Milchama at all. No mention of war is to be made on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time to reflect upon Milchama. Okay, so you say the Al Hamisim, but Ad Kidei Kach, to go so far and actually lay, everything else has a.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so this is what I did. Now let's go back to the other issues. Shabbos, there are three Sefer Torah, and again the Seder Hadvarim is as follows. First, we have Tadir, Vishayne, Tadir, Tadakoyde. First comes Parsha Shavua, then comes Rosh Chodesh, which will include Uviyam HaShabbos. That's an additional bonus. And then comes Chanukah, we're going to lay in the Yom HaShishi, Tadir, V'Sha'iner, Tadir, Tadir, Kodim, Shabbos, every week, Rosh Chodesh, every 12 months. And then we have Chanukah, which is once a year. The Seder is you lay six Aliyahs from the first Sefer Torah. When you finish the sixth Aliyah, you then put on the Bima, on the right side, according to what I'm used to, on the right side, you put down the second Sefer Torah. You then do Hagba Galila on Sefer Torah number one. You then lay the Yom HaShabbos Rosh Chodeshem, and then when you finish, you put on the Bima Sefer Torah number three. And then you say Chatzi Kaddish. Yiskadal v'yiskadash Shmei Rabbah. Hagba Galila on Sefer Torah number two. And then you read the Maftir of Sefer number three, Uvayoyim HaShishi. And then Hagba Galila. And then is the Haftarah. Okay, so that is the Seder. Now, there are opinions. Most people do not do this. Most people do not do this, but there is such an opinion that says that when you say the Chatzi Kaddish, you should bring back Sefer Torah number one. You should bring it back. Did anyone see to do that? Anyone here do it? You've seen it done. And the Mishnah Berurah says not to do it. Not here. And the Mishnah Berurah says a Parsha Sachoidesh. Parsha Sachoidesh, he says they don't bring it back. But and where is it? It has an application this week as well, and Simchas Torah. And the common meaning is not to bring back the first Sefer Torah, but not everyone agrees to that. There are some old timers from a different generation that will insist that you should bring back the first Sefer Torah to the Bima. So when you say the Chatzi Kaddish, when you say. What?
No, he was telling me, I said, sixth day of Chanukah is always Rosh Chodesh.
Rosh Chodesh is the Shvi, right? Kriyat Rosh Chodesh.
The Kriyat Rosh Chodesh, yes.
The Aliyah is
Shvi is right. Rosh Chodesh, correct. Six Aliyahs from the Parash of HaShavua.
The Maftir is the Chanukah.
Chanukah, correct. Tadir v'she'en Tadir. So some people bring back what?
Yeah.
Some people bring back the first Sefer Torah. So if you see it being done, that's very nice.
Some of the rebbes like to when they make a mishaber for challah with all the sfarim on the table. That's there.
Also,
and that's one that I've mentioned.
What are you saying the kaddish for? You're not saying kaddish in the Sefer Torah.
For the laning.
Unless you butcher the kriyas haTorah.
Kaddish for the laning.
So you're saying, yeah.
That's
we have a new balkari.
Putting the Sefer Torah to the left or to the right. One of the reasons to put it to the left is because the Baal Kori, that's what he's going to be using. And Ein Mavir and Al HaMitzvah, you're
going to oh, very interesting.
You're going to switch him over to
Ein Mavir, he's going to be using that Sefer Torah.
Because then you make the bracha on that, use the Sefer Torah that's closer to you.
You don't want to be galul in everything.
But by the time you're going to make the bracha, the other one is already gone. It's already gone.
The same time it's brought over. And everybody says, no, you got to put it over to the right. Why? Because I'm saying Kaddish on the Sefer Torah. You're not saying Kaddish on what you just laid. They're so concerned that Sefer Torah should be on the left side by the Balkar, because they're
going to
say Kaddish. No, you're not saying, like you just said, you're not saying Kaddish.
It
has
to
say Torah. Right. But, so therefore, it doesn't have to be that one closer to you.
I don't think it's because of close one. I remember I read this in a very good Sefer. Bell's a Sefer. There's a Sefer, they only put out a whole record on all the Hagim of right, because the right is Choshev. When you put something new down on the Bima, it's not, doesn't do, I never heard this idea. Saying something
original. The other reason was Ein Mavir and
Alice. Ein Mavir and Alice Mitzvahs. Yeah. Yes.
I also used to put the Sefer Torah to Hagba on the right, and I just saw recently in Birshu, that they say the Rebbe put it on the left is because when you put the new Sefer Torah on the left, because this way, it's right in front of the Gab, I can take off the mappa after they finish Galila.
It's right in front of the Gab, I take off the mappa when you finish Galila.
The Sefer Torah should be on the right.
The new Sefer Torah should be on the left near the Gabbai, so he can easily take off the mappa when they finish Hagba Galila. Agba. Who do they say that from? Did they give a source for that?
In Dirshu,
in the notes there on the side.
I don't, on the side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously,
like I said, it was
about focus. I remember very clearly. We spent time on this Sefer. There's someone who is a member of the Bells community. He put out already 7 volumes on different topics. Each topic is an entire Sefer to itself. His last volume was phenomenal. It's the Minhagim of Kriya Satara in Bells. And it's a lot of history. It's not just halacha, minhag, history, stories. It has an enormous amount of material, and it's done in a very, very pleasant and very, very good. And there he has an entire discussion on this. And he writes, if I recall from memory, then the Minhag in Bells is he put it on the right. He put it on the right, and if I'm not mistaken, he says the reason is because when you put something on the bima, you put it on the right. The right is more choshev. When you bring something new to the bima, you put it in the makom that's choshev to give it chashivas. It's not a secondary thing. Okay, we hear now two. We come to the Beis Medrash here of the Young Israel of Midwood, Kol Boker, and we have 2 chidushim. Number one, we have from Dr. Stern. He's telling us it's because there's a tzad to say that you kaddish. There's a svara to say that. Is it ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos? Ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos. You should put it on the left. You're saying on the left, because since this is going to be the Sefer Torah which you're going to lean from,
and it's going to be closer to you.
So you're going to lean, since you're planning to lean from this Sefer Torah, you want it to be right. It's not like ein ma'avirin. You want the Sefer Torah to be this is what you're going to be leaning from. It should be close to you immediately. Of Baruch Horowitz is saying, another Svara, you put it on the left because you're able to take off the mappa. Take off the mappa. You introduce another Svara, that why it would be on the right. If you were to suggest that the Kaddish, the Chatzi Kaddish, what's the purpose of the Chatzi Kaddish? So we all know the purpose of the Chatzi Kaddish is to be mafsik. To be mafsik between the Shiva Kruyim and the Mafir. Okay, so we're mafsik. But when you're mafsik, you do it with this technique to be mafsik. You say Kaddish. Are you saying the Kaddish just stam? Or are you saying the Kaddish on a cheftza of the Sefer Torah? So if you want to make this suggestion, I never heard this suggestion, sounds very interesting, is that part of the Kaddish is on the cheftza, and being that the Baal Kriya is on the left, and that's where the Sefer Torah that he has lain from thus far for the Shiva Kulim is located. He'll be an Afkamina. So you're not saying Kaddish now. This will be an Afkamina. See, the Baruch will be a very big Afkamina this time. If it's because he's saying Kaddish, so now when you have 2 Sefer Torah, so then you put it on the right. So you can say Kaddish on the Sefer Torah that you just finished learning. But when there are three Sefer Torah, you're anyway not going to say Kaddish. You're not saying Kaddish when there are going to be three Sefer Torah. You're going to wait for the third Sefer Torah. So then, why should you go put it on the right? You might as well put it on the left, because that's what you're going to be learning from now. It's very, if you want to say the time of Kaddish, the Kaddish is to be said on a Heftza. So when you have three Sefer Torah, and now you're up the Sefer Torah number two, and then you're going to do Hagbah number one, you're not saying Kaddish. So the dynamics of putting the right and the left will not apply in this particular case. Is everyone able to hear me online? Because I see you all frozen. Rabbi Baruch, are you able to hear me?
We hear you, but yeah. your face is frozen.
That's okay.
On the Indian of right and left with the Sefer Torah.
When you open up
the profile.
Mm. Okay, I don't know why. There's something wrong with the computer. There's something wrong here. I don't know what's going on here. But let's hold it. Hold it. I'm going to turn off my video for now. That just the sound, because that will save some bandwidth. Maybe it won't cut out so much. Yeah.
When you open up the Aron Kodesh, and I had arguments back and forth with different people whether you should pull it from the right. To
right.
The
so do they talk about that?
Or
so,
the left to the right.
So the minute the common minute is to go from right to left.
Right to the left.
Right to left. Why is the common minute to go from right to left? Because that's how you read in Hebrew. In Hebrew, you read from right to left. Okay, so this is there. So we come over here. At least we come over with all these chidushim as to what you put on the right and the left. We have how many svaras. We have the svar. What are you going to read from now? The svar of is the right more chashuv. The svar of what are you saying kaddish? Are you really saying kaddish on the Sefer Torah, or is the kaddish have nothing to do with the Sefer Torah, the chefza? It has to do with the kriya. Nothing to do with the Sefer Torah itself. It has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah, because like when you come to the third Sefer Torah, you don't bring back the first Sefer Torah. But we did mention, even though the Mishnah Berurah says not to bring back the first Sefer Torah, there is no question that there are Minhagei Yisrael, there's a Hakpada, that when you make the Kaddish, before you say Maftir, to bring back to the Bima Sefer Torah number one. And all three should be on the Bima when you say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah. That's a dying minhag. That's not a minhag that's very common anymore. It could be, I remember as a child, vaguely remember as a child, they did that. They brought back the first Sefer Torah. And I remember in the Young Israel, there was a person there that made a big fuss about this. Big fuss about this, that you have to bring back the first Sefer Torah. He actually told me, Rav Tuvia Goldstein. He told me Rav Tuvia Goldstein was very mocked to bring back the first Sefer Torah. He told me, maybe you know who this person is, his name.
I've been there and I don't remember.
His name, maybe you know this person, I forgot his name, will come to me eventually. He made a big fuss about this, big fuss. And I showed him that the Mishnah Berurah says fakert. So he says to me, Rav Tuvia was choylik on the Mishnah Berurah. Those are his words.
It's not a surprising thing.
Okay. And he showed me, he found me a machzar. He told me Rav Tuvia was chelik on the Mishnah Berurah, was very machmir on this, and then he brought me an old machzor where the instructions were to bring back the first Sefer Torah. So I said to him, well, just because it says it in the instructions doesn't really mean anything.
It says in our school.
Just because who says the instructions mean anything? Don't. What kind of proof is that?
One Rebbe and why you got into trouble. He didn't mean it that way, but a bacha said something, criticized what the Rebbe said, and said Rashi says different. And the Rebbe yelled out, Rashi doesn't know what he's talking about. what he meant was the Bacha didn't...
The Bacha didn't know what Rashi...
Right.
I understand.
Yeah,
he didn't mean that way.
But I'm saying that circulated in minutes, the whole yeshiva.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now let's go. I want to go now for a moment to Mitzvah Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos, what do you do first? We mentioned already the principle. We mentioned the principle of Tadir v'sha'ena, Tadir Kardir. Okay, so what do we do Mitzvah Shabbos? So we have a rule, you come home, it's machlekes, the machaber and the Rambam, I believe. There are two different minhagim. Some have the minhag of Mitzvah Shabbos. What are the pros and cons? You come, let's first, when you come home, what would be a reason why you should make Havdalah first, before you light Hanukkah candles? Tadir, v'she'ena, tadir kaidir. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, what do you do first? What do? You make Havdalah. You make Havdalah. And Hanukkah is once a year. So tadir, v'she'ena tadir kaidim, you should make havdalah first. What would be another advantage? What would be another advantage to doing that? If you do Havdalah first, you can then take the Havdalah candle and use it as a shamish, or you can take from its fire, you're not going to use Havdalah to Navuka, even though Navuka is only a minhag, you don't have to use Navuka, you can take the Havdalah candle or light your shamash from the Havdalah candle to light your Hanukkah candles, cave into Ovi the mitzvah achas, do a mitzvah achrita. It's brought down all the svarim. There is such a minute that you should use the or of the Havdalah candle as at least the source to light your shamish in order to connect to the mechaber. The cup of wine for benching, right? That's a general thing, same principle. So you, but you can't go the other way around. You can't go take, you don't, it's not the right thing to take the shamish. You certainly can't take the Hanukkah candles and use it for Havdalah because Ner Hanukkah is also l'shtamish bohem, and the shamash also. It's not the right thing to take. The shamash is here to serve the Hanukkah candles. The shamash is not to be used. It's not something which you use for your Havdalah.
Well, it's not
osur. It's not osur. 100%. It's not osur. And there's nothing you can do it. If you have nothing else, you can do it. But for some reason, it just doesn't sit well with the poskim that you should use the shamish of the menorah and you should use it for Havdalah. The shamish is here to serve. You know, you have a job. If you have a job, you're not supposed to be surfing the web. If you're being paid to do something, it's not the right thing to go off and do something else. If you have a menorah and you have a shamish, the shamish is there as a servant to the other neiros. Of course, the reason why you have a shamish, in case you nene from the light, so you're being nene from the shamish, you're not being nene from the neiros of the menorah. But the point is, it's still, there is a designation that the shamish is here now to serve the menorah, and it's not available for your purposes now to go use for Havdalah. But the other way around is perfectly fine. You make Havdalah first, and then you finish Havdalah, you're done, there's nothing more to do. And then you take the Ner Havdalah, and you can use it as at least a source to light up your Hanukkah candles. So you have two advantages, two very nice advantages of doing, of making Havdalah first. Tadir, v'she'enet, tadir, tadir, kaidem, and you're able to, in this minute of doing, using something from one mitzvah, you can now use it for another mitzvah. What would be a disadvantage? What would be an advantage of lighting the Hanukkah candles first, so there are two conflicting advantages.
Then Havdalah means Shabbos is over. Then you can prepare the menorah.
Where Shabbos has to be over no matter what. Shabbos is completely over. Oh, so he's saying that Shabbos is not over. So Mr. Muril is saying a very important point. Okay, there's a third advantage. That until you make Havdalah, right, you're very good. Thank you for correcting me. Very important. Until you make Havdalah, Shabbos is not over. Oh, but I said Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Good for you. But there are three madrigot in Shabbos being over. There is reciting Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Number two, Ata Choynan Tanu. And number three, Havdalah Al Hakos. Until you do all three, Shabbos is not over.
You can do melacha without being...
Okay, you do melacha, but lighting Hanukkah candles is a davar of chol. You light the Hanukkah candles when it's not Shabbos. You don't light Hanukkah candles on Shabbos. It's still Shabbos. Oh, I can do melacha. I already said Baruch HaMavdil. Very good. You said Baruch HaMavdil.
It's preparing menorah melacha.
No, it's not melacha. It's not melacha. Once Shabbos, you can't do anything. There's one thing that's for sure. Even those people who light Hanukkah candles first, must, without any, no excuse, have to say the words Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol.
Unless they said
that, oh, well, you got a mark. You have to do something, but you have to certainly have Shabbos must be over halachically by either davening Ma'ariv and saying Atochan Antanu or saying the words Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. However, just because you daven Ma'ariv and just because you said Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, you have a problem. You didn't make Havdalah al HaKos. And if you didn't make Havdalah al HaKos, it's still Shabbos. Shabbos lingers. There are three steps in order for Shabbos to be over. Baruch HaMavdil, Atoch HaNantanu, and Havdalah al HaKos. Lighting Hanukkah candles is something that you do during the week. It's not something you do on Shabbos. And if Shabbos is still lingering, then it's not the proper thing to light the Hanukkah candle. So therefore, there's another reason why it would be preferred for you to make Havdalah al HaKos. So Shabbos is now completely over. So when you light the Hanukkah candles, which is Be'etzem HaMalacha D'Araisa, you're doing it when Shabbos is over. It's not a Maila to light to Malacha after you say Baruch HaMavet. Yeah, I said Baruch HaMavet, very nice. And I said, and I daven Ma'ariv, but this Epis Shabbos is still here. You want Shabbos to be over entirely before you light the Hanukkah candles. So you've given three Mailos of lighting, of making Havdalah first. Tadir, Visha'ina, Tadir Kaidem. That's number one. Number two, you want Shabbos to be over. Shabbos should be over in Lagamre. Baruch HaMavdil, Atochan Antanu, and Havdalah L'Kais. Oh, Shabbos over. Now I can have the candles. Number three, you're able to be Mekayim, this beautiful minhag, that once you do use something for one mitzvah, you can now use it for another mitzvah. Okay, now, what are the disadvantages? The disadvantages are, you're supposed to light the Hanukkah candles. The Iker Zman of lighting Hanukkah candles is at the earliest possible time of the day, of the evening. During the weekday, so we know, we discussed this at length, you light either when the sun sets, or right after Tseis HaKoychovim, or somewhere in between, 20 minutes, let's say 20 minutes after sunset. Okay, you're supposed to light the Hanukkah candles as soon as possible. If you're going to dilly-dally and you're going to make Havdalah first, then you're wasting time. You're wasting precious time. Time the clock is ticking. And every moment that the clock ticks, is you're delaying the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres from its Ikor Zman. So you'll say today that it doesn't make a difference because today we don't do it for the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, we do it for the Bnei Bais. Okay, we all know that. But we still try very much to light the Hanukkah candles in the Iker Zman. So maybe you can argue that you should light the Hanukkah candles ASAP because this is the Iker Zman to light the Hanukkah candles. What's another? Now here comes the other reason. This is a very powerful reason. This, I think maybe Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says this reason. It's very powerful. Is Ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos. Where is the mokoyim to light the Hanukkah candles? Me'ikar hadin. Me'pesach beisoy mi'bachutz. Outside. When you come home from shul, where do you make havdalah? There's no halacha to make havdalah outdoors. Havdalah you make in the bais, indoors. Where are you making the Havdalah for your family? Your family is inside. When you come home, what do you pass? You pass the Pesach Bayis. This is the Mokoyim where you are supposed to light the Hanukkah candles. The door. You're going to pass the door? You're going to ignore this Mokoyim where you are required to make Havdalah? How dare you? You're passing the Mokoyim HaMitzvah. It's like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he left, he learned for 14 years in the Beis Midrash of Shem Be'er, and he went to Haran to get married, and then he realized, Oy vey, what did I do? I passed over the Har HaBayis, and I didn't stop to daven there. So he went all the way back to the Har HaBayis. How can you pass a Mokoyim that's holy and not stop and do what you are supposed to do? In order to get into your home to make Havdalah, you have to, pass the outside of your home. This is the Mokoyim of the Hadlaka. Ein ma'avirin al hamitzvahs.
The menorah is not prepared.
You can't prepare.
Even though it's not prepared, you're right. You're saying you're right. But in concept, think about a lot of these halachas conceptually. In concept, this is its mokum, and if this is its mokum, okay, go inside, get the candles. I'll also go inside. You have to give it hakara, recognition. I'm coming home from shul. I have to pass a zone where I am required to do a mitzvah. Oh, but the only way I can do the mitzvah is by going indoors and getting the oil and getting the menorah and get everything ready together. You're right. But if you're going to go inside and then make Havdalah, it's an insult to the Mokom. Like when Yaakov Avinu, when he went to Haran, he passed over the Mokom and there was a complaint against him. How come you didn't stop over this Mokom? So he went all the way back. He didn't say, oh, listen, once I'm already here, I'm already here. When I have a free time, I'll go back. No, go back right away.
So you, it makes sense to make Abdullah outside then?
No, that you don't do. There's no halach. You don't make Abdullah outside. Abdullah is not made outside. Abdullah is made inside. By the table, it's part, that's not the way you make Abdullah. Abdullah is ala kais. You drink. You don't drink out in the street. You don't drink wine in the street. It's not a good thing. It's against prohibition. You don't make... It's not a makom to make Havdalah. So this. So what do we have over here? We have over here. What would be another advantage to make Havdalah first? Another advantage would be Malin B'Kodesh. They say this Malin B'Kodesh. Some are of the opinion that Havdalah is the Araisa. It's part of it's Machloekas we're showing you. It's the Araisa of. Or you see this Yavni. You'd say well, the Araisa is more important. But Shabbos, anything about Shabbos is more sacred. Some say that just like that in Yatmek, Zohor is Yoim HaShabbos L'Kachar. There's a din of Kiddush the Haschola in the beginning of Shabbos, and the din of sanctification when Shabbos is over, the Gemara of Shabbos. You sandwich Shabbos with Kiddusha. With the Kedusha of Kiddush and Havdalah. Some say the Havdalah is even a Daraisa. And even if it's not Daraisa, Havdalah is an honor of Shabbos. So you can argue in this fashion, so you can always twist it either way you want, is Malin B'Kodesh. First you do Havdalah, which is secondary, which is, its sanctity is not as great as the sanctity of Shabbos, which is Daraisa. And Havdalah, even the act of being Havdalah, may in fact be the Raisa. Malin B'Kodesh. Just like when it comes to the lighting of the Neiros, we're Malin B'Kodesh. We go up, we go higher and higher. Every night we light more candles. Every night we go from 1, 2, 3, where we're Moisef HaHoylech. So too in Kiddusha, we're Moisef. It'll be like a contradiction to the way we light candles. Machlokes, do you light 8 down to 1 or 1 up to 8? We go from 1 to 8. Why? We go higher and higher. Start out low and go higher. We have in front of us two mitzvahs tonight. We have the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles, and we have a mitzvah of making Havdalah. Which one of these two has more sanctity? Everyone will tell you Havdalah has more sanctity. Havdalah has more sanctity. It's a very nice thing to be mefarsim a miracle. Miracles are wonderful, delicious, but as far as sanctity is concerned, nothing beats Shabbos. Shabbos is supreme. And therefore, when you have two mitzvahs, Malin B'Kodesh. So we have over here a very nice argument. We have a trial here. Chanukah and Havdalah are on trial. We presented two sides, and there are even more reasons. The tzadim, the advantages of lighting Chanukah candles first. Number one, we said it's the Zman. The Zman, you have to add Chanukah candles ASAP. Havdalah, you can delay Havdalah all you want. Adarab, the more you delay Havdalah, the more Tosefes Shabbos you have. The more sanctity of Shabbos you have. So, number one, the Zman is now. Number two, I like this. Number two is Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvah. It's a very delicious reason. And you pass the outside of the bais, even though we today do not light outside. And even if we would light outside, all likelihood we have to go inside the house to get all the supplies. But doesn't matter. This is the makom. It's a very profound reason. This is Rabbi Yashar, I think, says it. Rabbi Yashar, Shlomo Zalman Arvach, I don't remember who says this. It's a very beautiful reason. This is the makom. Don't insult the makom outside the bais. You pesach beis mebuchutz. Ein ma'avin ala mitzvahs. And the third is, how many candles you lighting tonight? You're lighting tonight 7? How many did you light last night? 6? Oh, you're going higher. So the same way in the Chanukah menorah, you go higher, higher, higher. You have in front of you two mitzvahs, Chanukah and Shabbos. Which one is higher? Shabbos is higher. So do the same thing. First at the Chanukah menorah, and then go higher to Shabbos. 3 reasons why we should light the Chanukah candles first. What is the bottom line? There is no bottom line. There are different minhagei Yisrael. It appears that the vast majority, not vast, the majority, the majority of people, at least in this community, in Flatbush and all of its surrounding neighborhoods, follows the custom to make Havdalah first. Havdalah Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir wins over Ein Ma'avidin al HaMitzvahs. If you want to take out the two problems, the two primary reasons, that's not really prime, but two of the reasons that we're going to put back to back, there is Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm trying to bring out this point. Most people here, I assume in this room, that everyone will make Havdalah first, and then like Chanukah candles. Anyone do the opposite? Is there anyone here that does, has a minute to do the opposite? Anyone? Anyone remember what they do? I think most people, 90, 95%, maybe even 99% of the people that I know, they make Havdalah first, and then they light Chanukah candles. Why? If you'll ask them, you'll press them, they'll tell you, Tadir, v'she'ena Tadir, Tadir Kaidim. Oh, but what about Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvahs? The place to light the Chanukah Menorah Me'ikar Din is outside, so that is triggered immediately before you come into the home. No, it's a battle. It's a battle. Survival of the fittest.
Call to Olam Gevurah.
What?
I always remember hearing the reason we make Havdalah first at home is B'nai HaBayis didn't say that Tachonan Tanu. So for them, it's still Shabbos. That's why
it's still Shabbos.
After we make Havdalah from Bnei HaBayis.
Okay, I hear another reason. Okay. We said already. Other reasons we said. We said it's Shabbos lingers. You want Shabbos to be completely cut off in order not to have any semblance of Chil Shabbos. Okay, that's all part of it. What you just said is part of that reason that we gave. But the bottom line is when you have a conflict between Tadir. V'she'ena Tadir, verse Ein Ma'avidin al HaMitzvahs, it appears to be the more common custom to make Havdalah first, it wins. Now, with that said, that's the bottom line. Okay, if you don't know otherwise, Mitzvah Shabbos, when you come home, in the home, Havdalah is first. A parenthetical note is in shul, if your shul has the custom to recite Havdalah as part of the Nusach HaTzilah, which is a very rare thing today, but in some shuls they still recite Havdalah as part of the Nusach HaTzilah, then it's the opposite. Then you make Chanukah goes first, and then you make Havdalah. Why in shul is the difference? It's a very important principle. There's no din tadir v'she'ena tadir in shul because the lighting of the Chanukah candles in shul is a minhag. It's not a din. Havdalah is a din. Havdalah is a din. The only time you say tadir v'she'ena tadir, tadir kaidim, is when both things are the same level. They're the same, they are the same league. If one is there two dinim, then you say tadir v'she'ena tadir, tadir kaidim. If one is a minhag, and one is a din, you do whatever you want. Adrab, you do the minuk first because it's chovit. In shul, lighting the Chanukah candles is a minhag. Havdalah is a din. The rule does not apply, then you say you do the minugas first. Another example is on Purim, what do you lay first in the morning? Kriya Satira or the Megillah? What do you do first? Kriya Satira. And then you do the Megillah. On Shavuos, Pesach, Sukkot, what do you lay first? Koheles, Shir HaShirim Arus, or Kriya Satira. Lay in the Megillah first, or do you lay in the Parashat Shavua first? You lay in the Megillah first. Why? The answer is, on Purim, laying the Torah is a din. Megillah's Esther is a din. Two dinim. Tadir, Vishayna Tadir, Tadir Koidim, Kriya Satira comes first. On the Sholosh Regalim, letting the Megillah is a minah. Kriya Satira is a din. They're not on the same playing field. Therefore, what do you do? What do you do first? You do the minhag first, the Kriya Samegillah, because it's chaviv. Okay, so therefore that's, let's not confuse what you do in shul is different. But going back to what we do at home.
Another reason
for
in the shul. Because if you do Havdalah first, is a Pesumin Nisa that we have to have. If we do Havdalah first, a lot of people might have left already.
So you say that reason applies at home as well. You're triggering some memories. That time that you just said of Pirsume Nisa is so important, it trumps all. And that would be
at home. We're not going to do it for.
Why not? So some of that's into the mix. Some say that at home also you should do Chanukah first because Chanukah it's not a stama a din. It's a Chanukah is persume nisa.
But nobody's going to leave the house. And shul people might
okay,
leave.
Okay.
So therefore you do the
Chanukah. Okay. Okay. There's another time. Okay, fine. In a chanami. Okay. So the bottom line is at home, as we mentioned, most people we do have a conflict. Tadir v'she'en tadir, verse ein ma'avirin al ha'mitzvahs. We have a conflict. Okay. So what wins the conflict? Tadir wins over ein ma'avirin al ha'mitzvahs. Okay, so now let me present you with a shaila. Come to Shul Shabbos, you come to Shul Shabbos, and you only have one Sefer Torah. It's probably a very common thing. People go away to hotels, people go away to the country, people go here, go there, and you only take with you one Sefer Torah this Shabbos. So this Shabbos you have to wait for three Sefer Torah. So if you have three Sefer Torah, what are you laying from? Tadir, v'she'en tadir, you have to lay dinim. You have to lay in Shabbos, you have to lay in Rosh Chodesh, you have to lay in Hanukkah. Tadir, v'she'en tadir, tadir kodim, you lay in for Shabbos, parashas mikates. Then Uviyam Hashabbos Uvirshich Hashechem, and then Chanukah Uvayoyim Ha Shishi. Three Sefer Torah, Tadir V'she'en Tadir Tadir Kadir. Let's say you only have one Sefer Torah. So what would you say? Okay, we'll be goyla on the Sefer Torah. You bring Parshas Hashavua, and then I'm going to be goylel all the way to Parshas Pinchas. When you go to Parshas Pinchas, you'll be passing by as you go. Hello. You'll be passing by Parshas Nosoi, where it says, "See you later, guys. Bye. See you later. We'll come back to you later." Because Shulchan Aruch, Tadir v'she'enet Tadir Tadir Kaidem. Along comes the Aderes. Okay, everyone quotes this Aderes. He says, No. If you only have one Sefer Torah, put on the brakes. You can't be good with Sefer Torah and pass by Parshas Nosoi on your way to Parshas Pinchas and wave to the Nesiim and say, we'll see you later. You can't do that. Ein ma'avirin al ha'mitzvahs. So the Aderes says, if you only have one Sefer Torah, you lain Parshas Shavua, and then you lain second Parshas Nosoi, Uvayoyim HaShishi, and then you continue to Uvayoyim HaShabbos of Rosh Hashanah. You have to change the order.
You can change it a different way.
Wait, what's that?
The parasha of Rosh Chodesh by heart.
No, you can't learn it by heart.
The Kohen Gadol did it in
the end. That wasn't the Kriyas HaTorah. No. You're saying good. I hear what you're saying. We don't do that. I hear that's for the Kohen Gadol. Mr. Rapport, wait, Rabbi Yisai, please. Mr. Rapport, we have only a few minutes. What do you want to say, Mr. Rapport?
I forget.
Mr. Rapport, you there? Okay, well, we'll come back to them later.
Suppose you have two Sefer Torahs. One is used during Hanukkah, and if got to goyle it.
No, forgetting to goyle doesn't mean anything. Forgetting to be goyle does not mean anything.
The second one, is it the same concept?
I don't think so. I believe not. I saw today in the preparation that you only have two Sefer Torah. You're right. The first one is the Parsha Shavua. The second one is Rosh Chodesh.
Is the regular Parsha Shavua?
No, it doesn't. The first one is Parsha Shavua. If you have two Sifrei Torah, if you have three Sifrei Torah, the first one, no matter what, it doesn't matter where it is. Even if you have two Sifrei Torah, it would appear that it does not make a difference where they left the Sifrei Torah. You must be goyla. You don't say the rule. The only time you're going to say the rule of Ein Ba'avir Na'al HaMitzvah is according to the Aderes. What the Aderes says is a tremendous chiddush. And to say that applies even when you have two Sifrei Torah.
Was
Goyle to Parashas Nosai. So you're asking me that you have two Sifrei Torah and you open up the second Sifrei Torah and you find it to be by Parashas Nosai. So now when you're going to have to be Goyle this to Parashas Pinchas, you're also being Ma'avir Na'al HaMitzvah. I hear what you're saying. So let me ask you another question. You open up the first Sefer Torah, and it's open to Parshas Nosai, or it's opened up to Parshas Pinchas. We never ever heard of such a thing. Shabbos, there are two Sifrei Torah many times. It happens very often that there are two Sifrei Torah, and they make a mistake on the Bima. Happens very often, and they put that on the Bima, the wrong Sifrei Torah. Happens all the time. All the time. We've never heard, maybe we've never heard of such a thing. Oh, once already it's here, so let's already lay in what we have in front of us. That we don't say that principle of Ein Mag. We know why, because there you have an option. You had an option. You blew it. You messed up. You had an option. You should have done it the right way. We're not covering for your mistakes. Here it's not your mistake. You have no other option. So what the Adere says is really a tremendous, tremendous chiddush to say there's a principle here of Ein Magrin. And the reason why I'm telling you is because here, look what we're competing. We have back-to-back competition between two halachic principles. We have, on the one hand, Tadir, Vishaina Tadir, Tadir Kaidim. The next thing you're supposed to lay in is Rosh Chodesh. That's Tadir. On the other hand, the Adere says, since you only have one Sefer Torah, and you have no choice but to use this Ein Ma'avirin, Al HaMitzvos. So what's going to win? There's a conflict. The halachic principle is of Ein Ma'avirin is it more powerful than Tadim Shem Tadim? Yes?
Lack of Torah, what you say?
Oh, so here it comes. I apologize, I forgot your name.
You loved it.
I forgot your name.
Heshi.
Silber.
Sobel.
Sobel. Okay, so Heshi Sobel asked the question, this is a violation of the cardinal rule of the Haftorah is Me'ein the Maftir. Me'ein the Maftir. Which would indicate that according to the Aderes, you should have to lay Hashemayim Kissi. You should lay the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh. If you're going to change the order, if you're going to change the order of the Sifrei Torah, you're going to first lay Chanukah, and the Maftir is going to be Rosh Chodesh, you should then lay the Haftorah, not from Zechariah, not from Rani Akara, Rani Vesimchi, you should lay from Hashemayim Kissi. He doesn't say that though. The Aderis doesn't say that. The Aderis does not comment on that. It would seem that even the Aderis admits that Chanukah is Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah, whether you like it or not, you have to learn the Haftarah no matter what you do, even though he tells us to rearrange the order of the Kriyas HaTorah, and we should lay number two, this particular should be from Nasa, and the third should be from Rosh Chodesh, you're still laying the Haftarah of Rani V'Simchi, which is a tremendous Chiddush because, you know, it's not Me'ein the Haftarah. So you have really two strikes against you. You're really ruining, you're really violating the law regarding the Haftarah, and Tadir, V'She'edet Tadir, is not being observed because of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. So this is what it says in the Aderes. Halacha l'maisa. I'm sure it's very, very practical. I highly doubt that this is practical halacha. People talk about this halacha. Everybody asks you, you saw it mentioned somewhere? They were talking about this?
Well, he said in the dictum thing, it just flashed, as you were talking, it flashed over there in terms of he only had two Sifrei Torah.
That's two. Two isn't easy.
Yeah,
two.
I know, no. But
well,
he
one Sefer Torah?
The question that he asked is, though, when do you goylel it? So there are some that say you go lelit immediately, that before you go hagba on the first sefer,
yeah,
you go lelit to the place where you're going to lay the
really
third. Yeah, that,
before you do, interesting.
Yeah, that's what he says you should do. That was the interesting part. However, not everybody agrees because you don't want to
kirchah d'tzibura.
Yeah, things like that. Right. But if you're going to be goylel, obviously you're going to be goylel while the second lading is going on. The person that's being goylel, if you have a place to do it, he's obviously
miss.
Not hearing the lady.
Okay, that's practical issue. When are you going?
Yeah,
when are you going on the first Sefer Torah?
The
first Sefer Torah clearly becomes the third Sefer Torah when you have two Sefer Torah. But we only have one Sefer Torah. So he was a Yankee Greenbaum, we'll see before. So he showed me yesterday, he showed me the Aderes, he showed it to me, and then he told me that the Esrav Chaim Kanievsky, and Chaim Kanievsky didn't give an answer. He says there are two different ways, either like the Aderes, or you do it not like the Aderes. And he didn't, I don't think he was, the Aderes, the name of a Rishon. And he said he was not Machriya. He didn't pass him what the Halacha is. I highly doubt it. I don't know, but I highly doubt that this aderis is practical halacha. It's a very nice principle. It's a very nice idea. But it doesn't seem that in practice this is accepted as halacha. And the bottom line would be that if you only have one Sefer Torah, you would violate Ein Ma'avirin. And also, you have to know, what does it mean, Ein Ma'avirin? It's a tremendous chiddush to say that Ein Ma'avirin means that when you mean goyel the Sefer, that's called Ein Ma'avirin.
It all depends on where you... How about if the Sefer Torah is on this side, and so you're not being Ma'avirin, you're putting it on the Sefer. It depends where the second Sefer is.
No, what are one Sefer?
Two Sefer
Torah, there's no Shaila. There are two Sefer Torah.
About the, what he said before, Ein Ma'avirin, if you put it on the left or the right.
Okay, that's right. So that's the difference, that's one thing at a time. This principle of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvos is obviously a very interesting concept. What are the rules? We discussed this, the Poskim mentioned this principle regarding Mitzvah Shabbos. Should you do Havdalah first, or should you do Ner Chanukah first? And the argument was presented that Ner Chanukah should go first, because in order to get into your home to do Havdalah, you have to pass the Mokoim that Me'ikar Hadin is Chayiv in Ner Chanukah. Mipesach Beitzay Mibachutz. Even though you're not going to light your Chanukah nor there, we know that you're not going to light it there. But the bottom line is Me'ikar Hadin, this is the Mokoim where the Chanukah nor should be lit. How can you pass that Mokoim and ignore it? Passing that Mokoim triggers an obligation to do the mitzvah right now. And therefore go into your home and light the Chanukah candles. So you see that there is such a principle when you pass a mokoim, where a mitzvah is done, there is such a principle of Ein Ma'avirin. You've been goyel the Sefer Torah. So new, when I'm being goyel the Sefer Torah, I'm passing over the words that I'm supposed to read. But right now, that's not what I'm doing right now. Right now, I'm on my way to do another obligation, Tadir Vish'ena Tadir, Tadir Koidem, demands from me to read from Parshas, Pinchas. It's also interesting. Tadir v'she'ena tadir is triggered first. When you finish, think about it like this. When you finish laning the Parshas HaShavua, so now you have a dilemma. Okay, what do we do now? Right now, at this moment in time, are you being mavir on a mitzvah? No. Right now, I finished learning Parashas HaShavua. The Sefer Torah is holding the end of Parashas Mikates. Right now, am I in violation of Ein Ma'avirin? No. Ein Ma'avirin did not come to me yet. Did not make an appearance. I finished Parashas Mikates. Okay, what are we doing? Now, Todd replies. Todd says, now the next thing to do is Pinchas. Okay? So Tadir has triggered an obligation to go to Pinchas. I'm on my way. Now I'm on my way. Oh, look who's here. Parshas Nosai, you came too late. If Ein Ma'avirin, in other words, if Parshas Nosai would be right in front of us, would follow Parshas, if in the Torah it was printed, Parshas Mikates, and then Parshas Nosai, right afterwards, then you can say to me, we have a conflict. Mitzad echad ein ma'avirin. Mitzad sheni, there's tadir v'she'en tadir. But Parshas Nosai is not printed next to Parshas Mikates. So the only time you're going to trigger the she'ela of ein ma'avirin is after you already engaged in tadir v'she'en tadir. I'm learning finished Parshas Mikates. Oh, what do I do now? Tadir? Go to Parashas Pinchas. Okay, I'm on my way. And then as you go on, someone comes and interferes. You're too late to interfere. If you would come and interfere in the very minute, you would present yourself immediately, then I'll deal with you. But if you're not going to present yourself immediately, Yahu says you're going to give the person permission. You're going to give that halachic principle permission to enter.
Why don't we also throw in that if I'm going to be goal all the way to Pinchas, then I got to be goal back for the Nisim.
So what?
It's a double.
So
here
what?
I can only go once. Let's tirch the
tzibur. You need a halachic principle
it's
to say that.
Tirch the tzibur.
Tirch the tzibur is not a halachic principle. It's when everything else is not an issue. When everything else is not an issue, then you can say tichah d'tzibur. But it's not a halachic principle. So this is a very, this shaila is a very nice, it brings up a lot of issues. The bottom line, I don't know the bottom line. I really don't know the bottom line. I strongly suspect, assume that the halacha, the bottom line is, if you wouldn't know otherwise, you would just follow tadir, vish'ene tadir, tadir koydem. You go to parashas Pinchas, and then at the end you go backwards to parashas Nasai. It's hard to believe. It's really hard to accept that that would not be the bottom line. So this shaila, I saw these naderis that says not, explicitly says don't do that. Okay, there are a lot of things out there. There are a lot of you have to know what the halach is. But it just doesn't sit well with me that would be the bottom. Rav Chaim Kanievsky didn't say to do exactly that. He didn't say to do. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't always pass in halach. That's not his style to pass in halach. And the fact that Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't present himself as a person. He passes here and there, but he doesn't know. Okay, I'll tell you what the halach is. That you'll get from Olam Yashiv, you'll get from Shlomo Zalman Arbach. There's a certain type, certain gedolim that are very psak halacha oriented. Not Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as far as we're not familiar. And what is the bottom line? I assume very much if you have only one Sefer Torah, you follow the regular, standardized procedure of Parashas HaShavua, Pinchas, and then Chanukah at the end. And just one last note, Erev Shabbos, what do you do first? You light Chanukah candles first. Chanukah candles go first, Shabbos comes last. Once it's Shabbos, you can't light Chanukah candles anymore. Shabbos is Shabbos. Chanukah candles goes first. Mincha, and lighting Chanukah candles, the advantage to daven mincha early.
We should have
is a matter of practicality. Most of the main reason why it's a good idea to daven mincha first is you shouldn't miss mincha.
Yeah, right.
That's it. That's the only reason. Okay, that's what it's all about. There's a sign on the shul outside because it takes time to light candles. Especially this year, there are 6 candles. It takes time. Okay, it takes time. So it's a matter of a practical issue. Also, but really, Mikar Hadin, many would tell you that it's really better to daven mincha afterwards. Why? Because if you daven,
it's after Shkia.
It's really better to daven mincha afterwards. What's the stira?
Lighting the next day Chanukah.
Right, because you daven the previous day. Minchas in the previous day, exactly. May saying very good because minchas in the previous day. So you want to get the previous day over. So this should be considered a shtickle. It can't be b'chal Shabbos. You have to show that this is for the next day.
That's right.
For the next day. So you daven mincha first, and that way, when you light in candles, it's like the introduction into the next day.
So everyone, be sure to be here tomorrow. Because
but some say you shouldn't do that. Some say it's adrabah, you shouldn't do that because you don't die. You don't light candles. Some say it's the opposite because by davening, because by showing it's far the next day, it can lead to chil Shabbos. You don't light candles on Shabbos. Yesh v'yesh.
If your wife lit already,
when you lie, you're still lighting for her. She can't light Hanukkah candles.
But she can be like,
she can be with you. You're lighting. Yes, you're lighting. All right, we'll stop here.
Everybody, everyone, be here tomorrow, please. Yeah, I'm not going to be here, but everyone else.
I asked Moshe. He said, Rabbi puts the sefer on the right.
On the right side.
Yeah.
Who puts the sefer?
I asked Moshe what they do in the shul. He said, you put it on the right.
This is what I do.
And that's what I love.